Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new Day All-Purpose Cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And we now are going to dive into the second part of our mailbag, which started earlier this week with part one, which was a focus on the major leagues. In part two, we're going to take more great questions from our listeners, but this time with a focus on the minor leagues. So we're going to cover everything from some of the top prospects in the system to players of the lower levels that we think could be poised for breakouts this year, and even get into some of our favorite uniforms and brands in the Orioles farm system. But we're going to start off here with this question from Kevin. Who leads the Orioles minors in home runs this year, and who leads in wins? And I will start with Nick on this one.
I got a boring answer and a fun answer. The boring answer is pitcher wins, because it's a boring stat and I don't care about it at all. Garrett Stallings, for reference, Garrett Stallings led all Orioles minor leaguers last year with 10 wins. Huge. I'm going to say Bruce Zimmerman, because he's going to be in Norfolk's rotation probably for much of the year, and he can log a bunch of innings, and he's going to have a really good offense supporting him. So that's my answer there. For home runs, though, this is an interesting one to think about. You had Connor Norby in 2022. Kobe Mayo last year, and I'm debating between two this year. It's not going to be Kobe Mayo, because he's going to be spending more time in the majors, hopefully. I think Basayo could be the guy, because he probably spends a big chunk of the year in Bowie, home run friendly. But I don't know, catching, maybe there's more focus there. I don't know. But that bat is just a monster. But I'm going to go Judd Fabian. I think he was tied with Billy Cook last year with 24, which was tied for the second most in the organization. So I think he takes a step forward this year, hits a few more. And Judd Fabian's the home run king in 2024.
Good answers. For wins, I'm going to go with Trace Bright. I'm going to shout him out after a really awesome performance he had at the spring breakout game. He's probably going to start at Double A Bowie, potentially make it up to Triple A Norfolk. Good offenses, good teams there. A lot of wins maybe going to be coming his way and those teams' way in general. So I'll go with him for the wins. And again, it's a stupid stat. It doesn't matter. But I understand that, you know, people think that it matters. As far as home runs, I will say Jake Cunningham. I'm going to go with my guy. I think he's going to show out, break out in a big way, you know. And I think a lot of the guys that could contend for this are going to be between AAA and the major league. So I just can't trust that they're going to stay in the minor leagues long enough to win this. And yeah, Basayo, definitely an option. But just between the stress fracture and catching, and I know he'll DH a lot and plays first base when he's not catching, but I just feel like I'll hedge my bets there. It very easily could be Basayo, but I'm going to hedge my bets with a guy that's going to start in Aberdeen, maybe, and go with Jake Cunningham.
I'm going to go with Garrett Stallings to repeat as the leader in wins. He's probably going to spend most of the year at Norfolk. I think Norfolk's lineup is going to put up a lot of runs, and Stallings is a guy that can throw a lot of innings, which is going to give him an advantage over those younger starters. I was kind of tempted to go bold and go with Kyle Verbitsky, but there's a little bit more of a track record with Stallings, so I'll take him. And then for home runs, I'm going, if you look at his home run total last year, you're going to wonder why I'm doing this. But when you consider the potential that this guy has, the answer, I think, makes a little bit more sense, and that's Dylan Beavers. Beavers' power total last year, over the course of the whole season, is probably the only thing you can look at and say, well, that's something he really needs to work on. And I think that as the year went on, we started to see flashes of it. It's just that for whatever reason, it was not translating into home runs when he got to Bowie. He hit for power at Aberdeen. He just didn't hit for power at Bowie for some reason. I think he'll make the adjustments that he has to make. He'll hit home runs at Bowie, and then he'll get to Norfolk, the point in the year where the weather's warmer at Harbor Park. It's a little bit easier to hit home runs there. And settle in somewhere around 24, 26 homers, which seems within his general abilities. And that would probably be enough to lead the organization. Plus, I think he's going to spend the entire year in the minors. So that gives him the advantage over someone like Kobe Mayo, who might have more home runs combined than Beavers between two levels, but he's not going to be in the minors all year.
Is it my turn? Yes. Our main man, Vivek, would like to know, how many total major league starts do you see Chase McDermott and Cade Povich making in 2024, Nick?
I struggled with this one, to be honest. If we're talking combined, I feel like this might be low. You guys tell me if I'm too low or not. I want to put the line at like 7.5. I don't know. I just think Povich had a very good spring. He had a great spring breakout game as well, but it's easy to identify some areas in his game, right, that he needs to improve on before getting regular starts in the big leagues. I think McDermott is closer, but he only threw 50 innings in AAA last year. They were really good 50 innings, but you want to see more consistency out of him in the walks, right? Can he consistently go 5-6 plus innings? Can he those walk numbers continue to trend downward as they have ever since he's joined the organization? I also think, like we just mentioned, was that last episode, that I wouldn't mind seeing a nice splash at the deadline, getting some sort of acquisition. Just like DL Hall last year, Chase McDermott can be that kind of trade deadline big piece you add to the bullpen. Maybe you add another piece as well, but he is a key piece you can add to the bullpen late in the year. Hopefully you get the divisional unlock a little early, and maybe you let McDermott get a start. You let some of these younger guys get a couple starts under their belt. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just too optimistic or hopeful about this rotation, but I'm just hoping like Burns and Kramer, at least, are workhorses. Means can stay healthy and come in and finish the year strong. Tyler Wells, Cole Irvin, at least one of those guys really steps up in a rotation role. Bradish comes back, you make the trade deadline acquisition, and then you really don't have to rely on some of these younger arms this year. You can let them marinate a little bit longer, and they can go compete for a rotation job next year. So,
I think you're about right, Nick, because my number combined is actually lower than yours. I'm going to say 6 between the two. I'm going to go 4 starts for McDermott and 2 for Povich. I think that both have appearances out of the bullpen as well. I agree that I think McDermott is a little bit closer to the major leagues at this point, but as we talked about in our last episode, he's probably not going to be the first guy up this year. You're probably going to give him a little bit more time down in AAA before you give him a taste of the majors, even if that taste is a spot start. And the same thing for Povich. I think that both have looked excellent in camp, but we know with Povich that there are things he has to work on, and I just don't know what effect the automated ball strike system is going to have at the start of the year at AAA. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me and I wouldn't be disappointed if one or both of these guys got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. And I don't think it's necessarily because they've somehow regressed between spring training and the start of the regular season. It's just they're moving into colder weather and they have to deal with this, you know, robot umpire that clearly tilted the scales towards hitters last year. So I think that somewhere in the range of like 6 to 8 is probably a reasonable number, and I'm on the low end of that.
I'm going even lower. I was thinking five. I just think I'm optimistic as well because we're not the Yankees. So I think we'll have less injuries. I know we already have a couple things going on, but if we have John Means coming back in a month, Bradish in 2 or 3 months, I'm going to stick to that's going to happen. We could make a trade acquisition for a starter around the deadline. You still have Irvin and Wells there who are starting in the rotation, could get pushed to the bullpen, might come back. I just don't know how much room there's going to be. You even have guys like Albert Suarez who might, you know, be a more suitable emergency starter. And just in our last episode, we all said Justin Armbruster is going to be the guy that gets the start if needed early on in the season. So, yeah, I think there will definitely be at least one. So I'd put over 0.5, but I'd put under that 7.5 mark that Nick said, which I think is a good number. It could very easily be over if injury gods are not on our side. So
I like it. The Yankees, man, they got their best start of the year at Carlos Rodon today, so they're done. Moving on to Matt. Matt asks, this is a good question, I think. What are the most important advanced statistics we look at when evaluating minor league hitters or pitchers? Zach, start with you.
Walk to strikeout numbers or walk and strikeout percentages, I think, are important for both, but I especially like to look at them for younger hitters because, as we've talked about before on our show, between the players, you know, their age, the fact that they're not fully physically developed yet, small sample sizes. When you're looking at guys in short season levels, power numbers are not a great way to gauge them. And batting averages can be highly misleading too. So I like to look at walk to strikeout numbers. WRC plus can help put some things into context about how that player is performing compared to the rest of his league. So I would say that that's another good one for hitters. And then for pitchers, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on FIP and XFIP, because I rely on FIP a lot more than I do XFIP. And part of it is that I think XFIP and home run to fly ball rate kind of tell the same story sometimes. Whereas FIP I like to look at for pitchers in the lower levels of the minor leagues, because I've watched enough low A baseball over the years to know how inconsistent those defenses can be, and that you have a pitcher who could be getting hurt by that, maybe because they're a high ground ball pitcher or they happen to be a fly ball pitcher who doesn't give up a lot of home runs but doesn't have a great outfield behind them. And the last one I would tack onto that for pitchers is infield fly ball rate, because the Orioles like to target guys who work the fastball up in the zone. And if the fastball is working, the hitters get under it, it's going to go straight up in the air. Jeff Ponce told us about this when he was on our show, and it was really an eye-opener for me. So to see a hitter, you know, go up against a fastball that's 95, 98, up in the zone, has that late life, if they do make contact, unless they have really good bat control, it's going straight up in the air. So that's not going to be a great metric for every pitcher, because some guys aren't that kind of pitcher, but for the ones who are, that's a good thing to look at.
Great answers. Can't really say it much better than that, but I'll try to put my input in here. Yeah, for hitters, if you just want to look and see one quick number that just describes how they're performing outside, because batting 250 with the 750 OPS is very different in Delmarva than it would be in Aberdeen versus Bowie, et cetera, because WRC plus, you just look at it, 100 is average. It's very easy to see how they're performing because every level, every division, league, whatever, it's all, the context is all there. Beyond that, yeah, walk percentage, strikeout percentage. If you're a power hitter, I want to see you under 25% strikeout rate. I want to see above 8% walk rate, because I think 8%, 8.5% is right around average. So those are good numbers. BABIP as well. If someone's really struggling, I'll look at the BABIP just to make sure there's not too much luck involved there. But I think that pretty much it as far as the essentials on the hitting side. And on the pitching side, I also agree. I like FIP more than XFIP, at least in the minor leagues. I think the context is there. Again, strikeout percentage and walk percentage, you want to be, try to be under 10% walk rate and above 30% strikeout rate, but also to go along with infield fly ball rate. If the strikeout rate is not particularly great, I will look at the ground ball percentage and see if they're getting more outs that way. And just the gap between the strikeout rate and the walk rate matters as well.
Yeah, I think I'm basically going to answer this question without answering the question, because I think a lot of it depends on the player and their profile and like what their future role could be. I think, to be honest, age and level is not an advanced stat. It's a very basic stat, but I think that's first and foremost to put a lot of the stat, whatever stat you're looking at. I think age and level is the first thing that I'm looking at because that can help put a lot of different things into context. I know, like, you know, a 19-year-old in low A putting up well above average numbers, you put him on your radar. But a 21-year-old in triple A doing the same thing, like, he's probably on your radar already. And if not, you need to put him there as well at that point. But I kind of use that first and foremost. And after that, like, it's the information. I want to look at the information we don't have access to. But if I'm looking at like a player's Fangraphs page, I'm more looking at like trends for a couple of different things. Like for the power hitters or guys that we think have power, is the ISO trending up? What's their batted ball profile look like? Are they hitting fewer ground balls? Are you seeing more line drives, more fly balls? WRC plus, you guys nailed it. I think that's a really good one as well because everything's contextualized there. Strikeout rate and walk rates, I think, are good initial indicators for like the FCL and DSL guys. We talk about that a lot. But I think as you move up the ranks, oftentimes even those don't tell you the full story because like if Bob kind of touched on this, you know, if Judd Fabian's rocking a 25% strikeout rate and everything else is fine, like I'm not concerned. But like if Frederick Bacosme, all things consistent, he's rocking a 25% strikeout rate now, I'm very concerned. I'm saying, what's going on with Bacosme? Same with pitching, like the K to nine and walks per nine. I hate those numbers. I like the percentages and I want to see those trending in the right direction too. Like I just remember Zach Lowther. I remember talking about Zach Lowther on this podcast and highlighting the fact that as he was moving up, this is one of our early, early episodes, as he moved up the organization, the walk rate was steadily going up and the strikeouts were steadily going down. And so like, if I'm seeing that, that's telling me that that's a pretty clear sign that more advanced hitters were not chasing his stuff and he was getting hit harder as he moved up the levels. So just another clear sign that maybe the stuff just wasn't good enough. You beat lower level guys with deception in velo, in the upper levels, not so much. But I think, it's all of those combined are all good ones. It's just really difficult to get a full accurate picture. You gotta watch the guys. You gotta compare the scouting reports and the eye test as well, I think is huge. And then take some of those numbers that you like the best, consider park factors as well, consider their profile, and you gotta combine it all there. I think it's a lot to get an accurate picture there of some of these guys, but it's fun. I like doing it. But
go to a question here from Billy B. He wants to know, what is your favorite Orioles minor league affiliate branding, and one of the alternate brands is an acceptable answer. I will start with Bob on this one.
Yeah, shout out to Billy, who's been doing a daily Norfolk hat post on the Discord every day, and there's a lot of cool hats that Norfolk has, but I gotta go with the Delmarva Shorebirds. I just like that they go with the black and orange still. I like the logo, but I think the Orioles affiliates all do a pretty good job, so I'm not too picky when it comes to this.
This is a pretty easy one for me. I am going with one of the alternate identities here, and I don't know if they're still doing this or not, to be honest, but my favorite is honestly the Norfolk Coffee, just because like the Tides are a reason why I'm a big baseball fan today. Grew up spending my summers at Harbor Park, so it's a place that means a lot to me. But when the Tides first started doing the Norfolk Coffee games a couple years ago, I remember the broadcasts. Shout out to Pete Michaud, voice of the Tides. You know, maybe not my favorite guy when talking about like player development, but history and painting a picture of a baseball game, he is fantastic at. And he really went into the history of Norfolk and coffee. And I grew up in Suffolk. So again, Suffolk known for peanuts, and you guys have not lived until you've gone to the Suffolk Peanut Fest. Maybe get out there one year. But I did not know that Norfolk's history with coffee. And I love nothing more than a good cup of, you know, bougie local coffee shop coffee. So to learn the history there and I think the players could choose like hot or iced when they play as the Norfolk Coffee. They had the two variations there. That was my nerdy fun answer there. I got to combine baseball history and coffee when the Norfolk Coffee play.
I do like that one. I'd love to get a hot coffee hat.
Yes, that is the correct choice as well, the hot coffee hat.
Those are both good answers between Norfolk and Delmarva. I really like Aberdeen. I really like how they work in the blue to go with the orange. I think those uniforms look really sharp. And then, although I wouldn't say blue and orange is my favorite mix of colors, I'm kind of sticking with this theme here. I love the Norfolk Tides Tidewater Tides throwback hat, the pillbox style. That's very Mets focused. I get it because they were Mets affiliates at the time, but that is just a really cool hat.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
I don't like, I'm going to go off on the Tides tangent here. You got me started. I'm not a huge fan of like the green and the Triton rebrand and all that stuff. Riptide is the original guy. I like the old school, the blue wave logo, the classic, but I do get it. You got to move on because that is very closely tied with the Mets. So I do get it, but yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Billy B, for the question. And speaking of Billy B, he is a podcaster and he has a shirt on birdlandsports.com. He was one of our sponsors tonight. Bird Notice is his podcast. As you can see, a couple of his shirts right here. Very cool. You can also see some On the Verge merch here on birdlandsports.com. If you go to the podcast segment, you got the Elite Talent Pipeline mug and shirt. You have the Raise the Floor, always a popular choice for the shirt, even though it's the old dimensions there at Camden Yards. You have the basic old logo. You have This Is Why on the Verge. Adam Frazier, rest in peace. We haven't come up with anything with our new logo, but still working on that. We'll get around to it. Film study if you're a Ravens fan, 336. It's all there. Check out birdlandsports.com. David from Twitter would like to know, by this time next year and with all the graduations, do you all think the Orioles have a top five farm system? Do more international kids start making top prospect lists? Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to say they still have a top five, even though Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo are going to graduate. Samuel Basayo is just going to move right up that list. I think that by the end of this year, Enrique Bradfield Jr., who was on some top 100 prospects list, is a consensus top 100 guy. And you're going to – I still could see a scenario where you have enough top 100 guys in a strong enough top 10 or a strong enough top 15 to be a top five farm system. And then as for the second part of that question, just knowing how prospect lists work, I think it's going to come down to one of two guys having a big year to really put themselves in that conversation. One of them is Frederick Bencosme, because there is a little bit of a track record there. He could have time at AA this year. And if he comes out and has a big year, he's going to be generating a lot of prospect buzz nationally going into next year. And the same thing for Braylon Tavera. High signing bonus. You have some outlets like MLB Pipeline that have been high on him for a while. So if he goes to Delmarva and has a really strong first full season, he's going to be getting a lot more attention nationally. So I think it is possible that even if you don't have players who have been signed out of, you know, Dominican Republic or Venezuela, that are cracking top 100 lists going into next year, they're going to have a lot more top 10 momentum and they're going to be talked about a lot more nationally.
I think I go back to the question of is there going to be a big splash or not? And I just kind of think if there is another big time trade and then Holliday, Kowser, Kerstad and Mayo all graduate, does Chase McDermott graduate? Does Justin Armbruster graduate? I think if we see a ton of graduations from this list, is Connor Norby traded? Or does he stick around in the organization? But you know, obviously, that's a guy who you're watching to potentially be traded this year. He's another top prospect in the system. And you look ahead to the draft, like there's not, Orioles obviously not picking at the top of the draft. There's not a ton of like star power in this year's draft. I think you're going to have, you know, that first round pick probably be a fringe top 100 guy like Enrique Bradfield Jr. was last year. So I think with all the graduations and possibly another trade or two, maybe it pushes them still within the top 10, but maybe not the top five. We'll see who graduates or not. But with the international guys, yeah, I think if you're talking about top 100 list, I don't know. But I'm thinking of, like, you know, when Baseball America puts out their top 100 and then they put out the articles like, here are all the guys who received votes. Here are the under the radar guys who could pop in the top 100 soon enough. I'm thinking like Braylon Tavera and Thomas Sosa have been getting a lot of love over the last couple of months since the end of last season. With, if they have big seasons in Delmarva, they could sneak in. I think Luis De Leon started getting some national love as well, started making some noise. If he has a big year in Aberdeen, that's a guy who's going to start sniffing around, I think, top 100, or at least be in initial conversations. We know Fangraphs was initially extremely high on Leandro Arias, so I wonder if he has a big year in Delmarva. If you look at a Fangraphs list, how high does he climb up there? But yeah, I think as far as like an individual Orioles top 30 list, I think next year could be like littered with international guys. There's just, especially the 15 through 30, I think the majority of that list could potentially be international players, which is going to be a lot of fun to see if that ends up proven to be true.
Yeah. Oh, the humanity. If the Orioles don't have a top five farm system, I think they could cling to a top five spot. I think it's going to be really hard for them to keep number one again, even if Samuel Basayo is number one overall. I mean, the depth is going to take a hit, especially there's so many top 50 guys that the Orioles had. I know they lost Joey Ortiz. We lost Joey Ortiz. We all did. And didn't really affect them too much. But if you lose Holiday, Mayo, Kowser, Kerstad, between prospect fatigue and maybe a trade, Connor Norby, you'd have Basayo, Beavers, Bradfield. I think it's hard for a pitcher to graduate, especially when they're not expected to start the year on the roster. So all those pitchers are going to be available. Matt Horvath, I think, could break out if Fabian cuts down the strikeout rate. You know, there's some guys that could race up the board. But yeah, the second part of the question, the international guys, I do think there's a chance between guys like Luis De Leon, Braylon Tavera, Leandro Arias, even a Thomas Sosa. I feel like if he really just is Ken Griffey Jr. again this year in full season ball, could shoot up lists. But yeah, I think you're going to start to see, this year is the year of the pitcher. We've already coined it in the Orioles farm system. Next year will be the international year of the international player slash star. So yeah, I think somewhere in the 5 to 8 range, I would expect the Orioles to fall, even though they traded one of their first round picks, one of the top 3 picks. I still think the two guys that they select near the top, you know, maybe there'll be interesting development where we get a guy who slipped and fell, not literally, and is potentially at the borderline of a top 100 list.
Well, you mentioned you're the pitcher. We've said that a lot. David from Twitter has noticed that we've said that a lot. So he's asking, who are the starting pitchers at each level that you're most excited to watch in terms of guys who can make an impact in the majors? There's a part two to this. What relievers in AAA have the tools to make an impact on the Orioles in the way Yennier Cano did last year? But maybe start with at least the pitchers at each level we're excited to watch as far as like legitimate major league talent guys, I guess. Start with Zach.
So I'll go at AAA with Chase McDermott, just between the way that he improved last year and the way he's looked in camp this year. Go down to AA, I'm really excited to see Trace Bright again coming off of a strong 2023 season. I think the Orioles have really found another gear with Bright, and I think that by the end of this season, he's going to be talked about as a possible future rotation piece. And then I'll go with three arms for combined low A, high A, because I'm still not clear entirely on how that's going to shake out. Jackson Ballmeister, Kiefer Lord, and Luis De Leon. I mentioned on our top 50 countdown a few weeks ago that I think De Leon isn't quite there yet, but I could see De Leon on a top 100 list one day because he's a lefty with three pitches that could grade out as possible, you know, starting pitcher in the major leagues quality type arsenal. and that would include a hard fastball. Baumeister has a lot of the traits that the Orioles target, and I think he's a little bit ahead in some respects where Bright was when he came into the farm system. And Lord has just come such a long way since the beginning of his college days. I feel like the Orioles are getting him at the right time and can make him even better.
Good answers. Good answers.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide. So we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I would say AAA, I will go with Seth Johnson, even though it's borderline if he starts at AAA or AA. I'm just going to count him as far as AAA just because I think if his stuff is back, he's potentially the best pitching prospect in the system. Down to AA, I'll go with Trace Bright. Again, had such a great outing at the spring breakout game against Pirates. Would love to see him continue to build off of that. Going down to High A Aberdeen, I'll go with Luis De Leon. You said it. We've said it in the past and tonight. Electric arm could be the next big thing as far as pitching in the Orioles system. I will agree. Kiefer Lord for Low A, which is where I have him starting. Electric arm again, and we've talked about how the Orioles have been able to get such good, productive players like Alex Pham and Justin Armbruster from guys that they've drafted in the past without that high-end velocity. Well, Kiefer Lord and a bunch of other guys from this past draft have it, so curious to see what they do there. And even down the FCL, I'll say Francisco Morel is the one name I'm looking at there. And as far as relievers, Keegan Gillis, Wanis and Charles, Dylan Hyde. Those are the three guys that I think could surprise and make an impact in the majors in the bullpen.
So when I was thinking about this one, I have the college guys from last year that I haven't seen pitch, I didn't include. So you guys mentioned some of those that I think could be fantastic pitchers. I left them off my list just because I haven't watched them pitch yet, at least at the major league level. And so with guys that I've seen enough times that I feel confident in saying I'm putting money on these guys being major league starters or getting a real opportunity to be. And it's Justin Armbruster, Chase McDermott, it's Cade Povich at the AAA level. I'm including all three. I think Armbruster is a sleeper. If you want to call him oatmeal, call him oatmeal. Sometimes you just need a good bowl of oatmeal in the morning. I think it's gross, but some people do. I think Armbruster can be that. McDermott and Povich, obviously we talked about enough. You all mentioned Seth Johnson as well. There's an argument that he is the top pitching prospect in this organization. Trace Bright, I'll parrot that again. He's going to win minor league pitcher of the year prediction. Feeling pretty good about that after that spring breakout performance. That was electric. I'm going to say Brandon Young. If he's got the injury concerns behind him and they don't continue to haunt him in the future, I think he looked really good when he got to back to Double A last year after his injury. I think he will be an MLB pitcher at some point, as long as, again, the injuries. Luis De Leon, obviously, you guys mentioned him already. 20-year-old who throws mid-90s from the left side. He's got a slide, swinging his slider already. Great feel for changeup. This guy is ahead of schedule. I'm going to throw out a name that I'm falling more in love with here. I'm going to say Juan Nunez. If he can limit the walks, I think he's going to get a lot of national attention this year. He might be undersized, but I think he has some of the better stuff in the system. I think that's my list there with those guys. Juan Nunez being the sleeper, but I'm most excited. I'll save that part because that's going to answer the next question. But the 2023 pitching draft class, keep an eye out for it. I think it could be deadly this year.
Agree with that. And to go back to the first part of that question, which I didn't answer, Wanderson Charles is a reliever that I think could be the Cano-type guy this year. Go to a question now from Yoni. What level are you guys most excited to watch for the first month before there are promotions? Nick started to touch on this with his last answer, so I'll go back to him to start this question.
Yeah, it's for me, without a doubt, it's Delmarva. It's going to be another year where I think it doesn't matter what level you turn in, you tune into, you're going to be entertained. Like, Norfolk's got huge bats in a rotation that I think we should all be paying pretty close attention to. Bowie's going to be stacked with pitching and Samuel Basayo and Dylan Beavers. Aberdeen's going to have a lot of those draft picks from last year, but Delmarva's going to probably have Braylon Tavera, Leandro Arias, Aaron Estrada, and Thomas Sosa. I really want to see these guys. Braylon Tavera, I know he only got one at bat, and the international guys looked well challenged, we'll say, in that spring breakout game. They're 18, 19-year-old kids. I wasn't expecting a ton in their one at bat in that game under the lights. But Braylon Tavera, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw that at bat, that was the very first time I've seen him in a game. And the dude looks jacked. That's a big kid. I am now excited to watch Braylon Tavera even more. But all those international guys, I want to see if Anderson De Los Santos has the year two breakouts. I'm kind of interested in Anudis Mordaunt, not just because I took him in the minor league draft. I want to see that power. He is posting a lot of really cool clips on Instagram, like the team issued clips where it's got what the pitch was thrown and the exit velo and launch angle. That's really cool. This kid hits the crap out of the ball. I know it's like batting practice or whatever, but he still hits the ball hard. And then you're going to see probably a big group of that 2023 draft class. Levi Wells, Baumeister, maybe Kiefer Lord, Levi Wells. I mentioned Wells. Fruit, Cravey, Nestor Herman, maybe Michael Ferret even. Like, I really do enjoy that challenge of trying to identify those younger guys. Who's got it? Who doesn't? Like, I'm excited to watch Delmarva that first month. That's where I'm going to be tuned in the most, I think.
Yeah, I think my answer is Delmarva as well, especially on the hitter side. Like, I just want to it's not really fair because it's our first chance to see these guys, like, every night out on video, see what they got. But if I could cheat, I'd say hitting side Delmarva, pitching side Bowie.
Yeah, that's fair because I think that you could kind of, you know, go through the different parts of what we think these rosters are going to look like and like all four of them. If I have to go top to bottom and just go overall lineup and pitching staff, I'm going to go with Aberdeen. I'm just really excited to see what some of these guys coming out of the 2023 draft class can do, especially on the position player side, because Bradfield, Horvath, Etzel all looked fantastic coming out of the draft last year. You have Jalen Vasquez, who performed really well also. And then I think two guys who we either didn't see much from or that didn't have eye-popping statistics in Jake Cunningham and Tavian Josenberg are going to settle in and do just fine. But when you look at who could be in that rotation at the beginning of the year, De Leon, Jackson Baumeister, Juan Nunez, not to mention Teddy Sharkey coming out of the bullpen, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yep, absolutely. And I will go with the next question here. Ben E. would like to know, what prospect outside of the top 50 will break out this year? And you can't say Joshua Lorenzo.
Zach Fruit. I talked about a little bit on our show recently covering the best of the rest, but I'll get into it again here. The way that his stuff jumped in college, especially over the last year from when he was in the draft league to his final year at Troy, fastball velocity took a big step forward. The secondary seemed to be coming along. There's definitely going to be work to do there for the Orioles. And I suspect they're going to do what they've done with a lot of guys of a similar profile, which is try to get him to start and try to get him to really work on the pitches that are behind the fastball. So in particular, the slider and the changeup. But I could just see him being someone who comes into the system and really takes off over his first full season, because he has the traits the Orioles like. He has made improvements over the last few years. I wanted to include him in my personal top 50, and he fell just short. But I feel like by sometime this summer, he's going to comfortably be inside the top 50 somewhere.
I can't answer the question because my answer was Joshua Lorenzo. No, I just think, like, that's a gimme. Like, 17 years, he didn't face a single batter, a pitcher younger than him last year in the DSL because he was 16 years old. His brother is a masher in the Dodgers system, top 10 prospect, and his brother got, like, pennies. Lorenzo got $500,000. I'm all in on this Lorenzo kid. I'm pretty stoked, even if it is just the grainy videos from online that we get of Lorenzo in the FCL this year. I'll eat him up. I want to see what this kid can do.
I'm going to say Preston Johnson. I feel like he's a pitcher that's kind of been forgotten about. He was a decent draft pick a couple years ago, immediately had to get Tommy John surgery. He's coming back this year. I could see him doing some things to get himself up into that top 50 and beyond. Also, a little bit of a sleeper, Steven Acevedo. Really loved the way he just improved as the year went on last year. Kind of a make or break year for him this year. Don't be surprised if he does something good.
Like it. I just saw this question. I didn't know this question was added. I think this is our last one, though. If you guys have any thoughts on this from BK, why do the Orioles love cutters so much? They're always trying to teach cutters to prospects without much success so far.
Let's watch Corbin Burns' pitches here, and we might find out the answer because he's got a good one.
Yeah, and I agree with Bob. And just to add on to that, I wouldn't write off the cutter or the Orioles' track record with the cutter off too quickly, because Chase McDermott taking the step forward that he did last year, I think, owed a lot to the improvements with his cutter and the fact that he was working that in rather than the changeup. At least that's how he positioned it to us when he was on the show before the season. He was going to be relying on that more instead of his changeup. If they stuck to that plan throughout the year, it showed in the results, because McDermott improved in just about every area this year. So there might be some guys who just can't throw a cutter, but I think when you have someone that you feel like you can work it in with, and maybe you get something resembling Corbin Burns, you go for it. And so far, if I have to point to one success story or near success story in the minor leagues, it's McDermott.
Throw the death ball. Let's get ahead of the curve on the death ball. Forget the cutter. Forget the sweeper. Let's get ahead on the new pitch that's going to take the control of baseball.
The more weapons you have in your arsenal, the more you have to work with and mess around with. So I don't mind it. I know Dean Kramer has seen a lot of people criticizing his cutter leading to home runs, but yeah, like I said, let's see what Corbin Burns can do with his cutter, because it's really good, and maybe he can teach some guys how to use it better as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and we are looking forward to seeing that as the regular season plays out. Next week, we will be joined on the show by our friend Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles. We just had the opportunity to go on his show recently for the minor league draft. He's going to come on our show, as he does before the beginning of every season, and go through regular season predictions with us. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, you can find us out there on social media. We are there far and wide. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. We're also over on Substack, orioles.substack.com. And you're going to want to sign up for our Patreon community, because starting next week, our bonus daily coverage will return with the beginning of the minor league season. You're going to want to sign up, and you're not going to want to miss that. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.